Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, December 24th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington on this Christmas Eve. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe cabinet ministers and central bank governor fail to agree on revised investor-friendly indigenization regulations.
The state is guided by the Act of Indigenization. So if anything to go by, it is guided by that Act. The foreign investor should acknowledge Zimbabwean security.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says President Robert Mugabe is to blame for Zimbabwe's faltering economy.
The general line of thinking is that you cannot invest in a 92-year-old. So the general outcry is that this man must retire for his own sake and for the sake of the country.
Zimbabweans expect a dull Christmas tomorrow due to the current harsh economic situation in the country.
And Zimbabweans express mixed views on President Robert Mugabe's recent hosting of a lavish banquet.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Zimbabwe cabinet ministers and central bank governor fail to agree on revised investor-friendly indigenization regulations. Indigenization Minister Patrick Juao, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, and Governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe John Mangudya met today in Harare and failed to come up with a common position on revising the regulations compelling foreign-owned companies to transfer majority shares to locals. Indications are that Zimbabwe was supposed to introduce new regulations with less restrictive measures on the transfer of shares to indigenous people. The ministers were not available for comment.
Investors have, over the years, been complaining about the Black Economic Empowerment Program, which they claim forces them to cede shares to local people. A ZANU-PF activist who only identified himself as Mr. Nyati told Studio 7's Gibbs Dube there is no way that these regulations will be changed to suit foreign investors.
The state is guided by the Act of the Indigenization. So if anything to go by, it is guided by that Act. So there were no evaluation of the Act or supplementary of the Act. So we still abided by that Act and we are guided by it.
What will it take for Zimbabwe to transform the indigenization law to suit foreign investors?
The foreign investor should acknowledge Zimbabwean statute. If they cannot meet the statute, then it is up to them whether they like to come or they don't like to come. But the country will go ahead, and we are still operating along those lines. So whoever wants to come and operate in Zimbabwe, that is, he has made the decision. And that decision will suit the 51% and 49% accordingly.
So now, do you see this law actually benefiting Zimbabweans?
It benefits Zimbabweans because 51% will be under Zimbabweans. Then 49% will be for the foreigners. So whoever ventures into business with the Zimbabweans, then Zimbabweans will gain and will benefit.
That was a ZANU-PF activist who only identified himself as Mr. Nyati, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Studio 7 also spoke to Rejoice Ngwenya, an independent economic commentator, who said the current indigenization regulations are blocking foreign direct investment.
They need to send back the concept to the citizens. We're in a multi-party democracy, and we are supposed to be in a participatory democracy. These guys, they don't need to break their heads. They got that expertise. They got the Ghanaians and the Fukares of MCOS. Brother, I don't believe that is the end of the road. They should just take back the subject to the stakeholders.
Now, do you think they can take that route, taking into account that ZANU-PF is actually hyping this indigenization agenda?
This is the problem. Duao is taking up a populist position that it's going to be indigenization or nothing. And then he's fighting against Chinamasa. Chinamasa was talking about foreign direct investment. And today, yesterday, Chihuahua was saying that Ace Mulumumba, Semit Send, and Epoet, we don't need foreign direct investment to come and do anything for us. I mean, these guys, I'm afraid, they've run out of debt. So if they remain in their populist stance, there is no company that can generate sufficient internal capital. The demand is very low. You know, the borrowing is very expensive. So the only other way is to have a relationship with international strategic partners. And this is where industry and commerce comes in. Just like in South Africa, you know, Suma consulted industry and took the right decision.
That was Rejoice Ngwenya, an independent economic commentator, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
I'm Tatenda Gumbo. Greetings of the season from your Studio 7 team in Washington, D.C.
Opposition MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai says President Robert Mugabe is to blame for Zimbabwe's faltering economy. Tsvangirai says Mr. Mugabe's failure to address the deteriorating economic situation has resulted in the cash-strapped government failing to pay its workers and pensioners. Government has only paid the army, police and state security agents, and it's not clear when the rest of the civil service will be paid. Efforts to get a comment from Labour Minister Priska Mufumira or President Mugabe's spokesperson George Charamba were not successful as their mobile phones went unanswered. In this final exclusive interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, Tsvangirai says the government is failing to even attract foreign direct investment due to policy inconsistencies and infighting in the ruling ZANU-PF party to succeed Mr. Mugabe.
It's a question of revenue collection. The government is not able to generate sufficient revenues in order to meet those costs. We all know that at the moment it's struggling. There have even been rumors that they wanted to issue bond papers as bonuses, but a bond paper is going back to the printed Zimbabwe dollar, so it doesn't work. What does it mean? It means that the economy, which is shrinking, cannot generate sufficient revenues in order to meet government expenditures. That's all.
And what would an MDC government do differently in terms of reviving the economy?
First and foremost, the question is that are we able to put in place the necessary plan to revive the economy? Of course we do. Are we able to stabilize the economy? Yes, we do have the experience during the GNU. One of the key factors that has affected the ZANU-PF government is you have a huge bureaucracy which they don't want to shed off. Even with a research position which indicates that there are over 80,000 ghost workers, they don't want to give up those because those people are working for ZANU-PF as youth officers. Those people were employed illegally. Now, that blows the wage bill. And secondly, you have a debt which is unmanageable. And thirdly, you have an economic base which is not producing anything. You have a collapsing industry, you have no investment. So where do you get the money? So for us, those are the stabilizing measures that MDC will have to implement immediately.
Mr. Mugabe turns 92 next year in February. What impact is this having on the nation in particular and the potential investors in general?
Well, the general line of thinking is that you cannot invest in a 92-year-old. So the general outcry is that this man must retire for his own sake and for the sake of the country. To be honest, they want to see stability. And as long as there is a war within ZANU-PF about succession, there will be no stability, and therefore no one is interested in investing in an unstable environment.
But is this not an opportunity for the opposition? Many are actually saying you are wasting it because the opposition parties are always agreeing to disagree on a number of issues instead of forming a coalition.
Blessing, those are armchair theories. The opposition parties in Zimbabwe are working towards ensuring that conditions for free and fair election are achieved. What else do you want? We haven't even reached the stage of a coalition discussion. It is not as automatic. Some people are mixing the issue of working together to ensure that conditions are equitable for free and fair and a coalition. We haven't even reached that. Because there's no election and there's no coalition to talk about.
But as opposition parties, do you believe that you still have the support of the people?
Oh, what a question. What is questionable about that? What do you mean by support of the people?
I mean, by just talking to Zimbabweans, I think most of them, you can tell that this issue of politics, they are simply fed up. You know, there are people who appear to have given up.
They are fed up not because of opposition. They are fed up because of the intransigence of ZANU-PF and the government and the leadership of ZANU-PF. They see their problems mounting on a daily basis, and ZANU is not responding to those issues. And that's why there's general apathy regarding politics. It's not because the opposition has no support.
That was opposition MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Civil servants say they have tried in vain to meet Labour Minister Prisca Mufumira to clear the air on salaries and bonuses.
Hello, Zimbabwe. My name is Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. That number again is 202-465-0318. Remember to tell us something about this year's Christmas and New Year. We will be giving away calendars and radio receivers, so give us your full address and contact numbers.
Thank you to those of you who responded and sent us your Christmas and New Year greetings. Here are some of the ones we've received so far.
Happy Christmas, Happy New Year to you all who are Studio 7. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year to you, all Zimbabweans all over the world. I know wherever you are, you're listening to this radio station by this time. I wish you all the best on 2016. Please, drivers all over the world, wherever you are going, don't fool yourself. Speed kills. Drive safe. Go home safe. Please, I love you all. My name is Shepard, here from Joburg. Thank you.
My name is Aria Victor. I am in Cape Town, South Africa. I would like to say, yeah, in South Africa, things are stable. I don't want to lie. They are stable. We can say we are affording the basic things for the Christmas, even the clothes, the food, and I think it will be a good Christmas and a good New Year day. That is, sometimes maybe we are just being afraid of the accidents and sometimes violence. But in terms of everything, I would like to say it is okay. It is okay to us. And people in Zimbabwe, we wish you, if you can have also a good holiday with everything that you wish, we are with you. We don't forget you. We know that something down the line is not good for you. That much we know. But we are okay. We are okay here.
Ini ndinozvilevya singwenya. Ndinogara kugokwe, Gokwe North Village Mugombiro kuchitekete. What I am saying, guys, is youth, we have nothing to celebrate. Pertaining the end of this year holiday, because this year has been characterized by closure of companies, retrenchments of workers in both the private sector and the government. So nothing to celebrate, guys. So what we are saying is, let us all pray to fight the government of Mugabe and this is ZANU-PF party.
Thank you so much. We want to hear from you out there, so please send us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. We'll give out some calendars and radio receivers to those who send us these messages. And so include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 1-202-465-0318. Our number again, 1-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook.
Now we take a look at regional and international news.
Belgian authorities have charged a ninth suspect in connection with the November 13 terror attacks in Paris, federal prosecutors said in a statement today.
It took 36 years, but the Americans held hostage for 444 days by Iranian captors finally are getting a settlement for their ordeal. A massive spending bill that Congress passed last week granted up to $4.4 million to each of the 53 former hostages of the state, the New York Times reported today.
Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari says his country has technically won the war against Boko Haram in comments issued days before his self-imposed deadline for defeating the militant group.
And Syria's foreign minister says his country is ready to participate in peace talks in Geneva without any foreign interference nearly a week after the United Nations Security Council approved an international plan for a peace process to end the civil war in Syria.
December is a merrymaking month, normally characterized by colorful weddings, imported vehicles, horse-drawn chariots, and international wedding designer suits. This year, as our correspondent Patricia Mdadigwa reports, one can even book a wedding place a day before Christmas.
It is usually difficult for people intending to tie the knot to find venues for weddings at this time of the year or in January. The situation is, however, different this year in Zimbabwe's capital, Harare, as most of the wedding venues are not fully booked. Zimbabwe's ailing economy appears to be hitting hard, not only on wedding venue consultants, but also cake makers and dress designers. They say business is low this year compared to other years, as most people now prefer holding cottage weddings instead of booking private venues that can cost up to about $500 per day. Harare entrepreneur Hazel Marimbe says this has affected a lot of people who are in charge of wedding venues.
At the moment, business for us hasn't been doing so well compared to the past 2 years. Things have changed. Because if you look at the past 2 years, we were fully booked from December to January. But as of now, we've got days that are still open. And 2 years ago, we'd actually have clients coming in to book in. And we never used to negotiate the price with the clients. But as of now, just because we need the money, we end up reducing our asking fees. And we are now having to actually advertise more than we used to do before.
Adam Majambe, who provides catering services at weddings and other functions, says the ailing local economy has dampened business.
Last year, the business was a bit okay when we used to serve at least three times prior to the wedding and after the wedding, serving three course meals. But comparing with the wedding that we had yesterday, things are so bad with this economic situation, whereby people are now preferring a substandard meal of just one course that is way below standards of our services. So the economy is not well.
Siboniso Mukanga, a Harare cake maker, is facing similar problems.
It's a bit slow this time around. I don't know whether it's the competition or it's just people not having the finances to do their wedding, but it's a bit slow from the previous week.
It is not only weddings that are not generating income for her, as other festive season events are also not yielding anything.
I think it's also the economic conditions. People are just trying to, to prioritize things. Someone would rather save maybe for fees than buy a cake. But now it's really different. And I think the other thing, most people are venturing into cake-making businesses. These days people just go where they know that there's easy cash. So there are so many people coming up with cakes now. There are so many people learning how to bake. So I think it's also to do with the competition and also the current economic conditions.
Tinashe Mdadigwa, who recently tied the knot, says Zimbabwe's deteriorating economic situation was even visible at his wedding.
I wedded on the 12th of December. Of course, the wedding was a success, but the ailing economic conditions were quite visible during that wedding. You could see people were very much willing to celebrate with me by giving me gifts, but some of them were pledging some of the gifts and promising to give me later on. Probably it was the effect of no bonuses or so. But the most important thing is that we gathered as families and we managed to rejoice. This wedding actually gave the families a platform for us to mingle and meet and celebrate together.
For Felistas Manga, who also exchanged vows with his sweetheart recently, weddings are now a rare occasion, and it's hard for relatives to meet for such important events due to economic hardships.
The preparations were quite difficult to come by because of the economic difficulties, but we managed. The thing is, when we have weddings, it's an opportunity to gather all our relatives together, because nowadays people hardly have time and money to travel. Like now at my wedding, some people could be making, but they made an effort to send us presents.
The wealth flaunting usually associated with weddings is also fading, but some Zimbabweans still conduct lavish weddings. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Opposition parties and ZANU-PF are feuding over President Robert Mugabe's recent hosting of a lavish banquet for his cabinet ministers, parliamentarians, members and supporters. Newsday newspaper quotes a ZANU-PF party spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo defending the banquet he has done annually at his residence. However, opposition parties are questioning the source of the funding for the banquet, as well as President Mugabe's remarks praising citizens' resilience in the face of economic hardships. Further, some are also questioning President Mugabe's decision to take his annual leave to the Far East. For perspective, Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalele turned to spokesperson Obed Gutu of the MDC formation led by Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai and also political commentator and ZANU-PF member Goodson Nguni. Nguni says the banquet as well as President Mugabe's vacation are his and the party's right, supported by the constitution.
That is not the main issue. That is not just bringing our country down. What's bringing our country down are the sanctions that this opposition party, working on behalf of white people, invited on Western countries to impose on our country. There is nothing wrong with us celebrating an end of year party saying we have worked very hard. It is provided in the constitution, in the budget that has been constitutionally approved by parliament with MDC members of parliament. We never heard the MDC complaining that why are you approving this budget? It's an entertainment value for the president. More importantly, it is very important to know that we are Africans. When there's a death in the family, when somebody is not well, we are having a memorial service. We buy food, we buy alcohol, we celebrate, we don't cry. This is what the NDP wanted us to do. Unfortunately, we are not accepting that.
Mr. Gutu, you quoted saying that this shows that President Mugabe is not bothered at all by the fact that more than 80% of the people are living on less than $1 a day. Yet Mr. Nguni is saying, what's wrong with what he's doing?
Look, when you look at a whole head of state of a country of about 13 million people, 80% of whom are living in abject poverty, who then goes ahead to throw one lavish party after another, which parties, as we all know, are wholly funded by a near bankrupt treasury. That shows you the insensitivity of a government. Instead of reserving whatever little is there left in the treasury to more deserving issues like providing relief to those people, millions of whom, as we know, are already facing starvation. We know that government hospitals and clinics in all urban and even rural areas have no basic medicines, even painkillers like paracetamol. We have a government led by President Robert Mugabe that is very, very fixed on just pursuing their own pleasure as the ruling elite. Just a few days ago, they had another jamboree, an expensive one in Victoria Falls.
Mr. Nguni, I would like you to weigh in on that. Also, of course, in addition to what Mr. Gutu has said, companies in Zimbabwe are closing down, bonuses have not been paid. Yet President Mugabe is saying to Zimbabweans, be resilient.
First of all, let me correct something here. ZANU-PF members contributed money to finance the conference in Victoria Falls. The second point is this. Let's say that the $2,000 was spent on lunch, Sada, Yama, Rice, and Yama. $2,000. What is the issue here? The first lady and ZANU-PF and the president, you mentioned they're taking on taking thousands upon thousands of money to deserving causes around the country. So what if they went to lunch? The opposition is completely empty. The only thing that they know is that they must fight on behalf of white commercial farmers against ZANU-PF claim settlement program. So there is not a real policy that they should be attacking on ZANU-PF. This is the gentleman talking, he's a lawyer. He's talking about the land worth about $5,000 worth of spend.
Mr. Gudu, I want to ask you also as opposition. Some are saying, what is the opposition doing to at least step in where there's such a vacuum?
Look, we are doing a lot. We have actually come up with policies. As the MDC, we have come up with a policy document. We have got what we call the Agenda for Your Transformation Act. We've got the Youth Policy Document. That is as a party on our own. Then perhaps more recently, I'm sure all Zimbabweans and other interested stakeholders have come to know what we call the NERA, the National Electoral Reform Agenda document, signed together with about 14 other opposition political parties to enable free and fair elections to be held in Zimbabwe in 2018.
Mr. Gutu, if I can just jump in and say, with due respect, some will say, what is the opposition doing now to help step in and alleviate this suffering?
Look, we are also taking measures. As you know, our members of parliament, they've been very, very, very vocal. They have presented motions on what the government should do to address the deteriorating health delivery system, issues to do with the crippling power shortages, issues to do with the impending starvation. As you know, the El Nino effect, climate change experts have already warned that the whole southern African region, particularly Zimbabwe, is going to be hard hit, and that we're going to have a very short rainy season. Our members of parliament have been actually shining stars. They've come up with alternative policies of what the government should do. The problem that we have in Zimbabwe is we have a government that doesn't listen to anyone. We have a government that is only concerned about its hold on power. If you look at the parliamentary Hansard record, it will show you that both houses of parliament, in the National Assembly and also in the Senate, the upper house, our members of parliament have clearly articulated alternative policies that the government should pursue.
Mm-hmm.
We have even interrogated Honorable Patrick Chinamaso's budget. But we have a government that doesn't even lend an ear to any voices of reason.
That was spokesperson Obed Gudu of the MDC formation led by Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai speaking from Mauritius. Earlier, you heard the views of political analyst and ZANU-PF member Goodson Nguni, who spoke from Harare. His phone cut off before the conclusion of the interview. Both spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalele.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Forum will be talking with listeners and experts about Christmas.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe cabinet ministers and central bank governor failed to agree on revised investor-friendly indigenization regulations.
Opposition MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai says President Robert Mugabe is to blame for the faltering economy.
And Zimbabweans express mixed views on President Robert Mugabe's recent hosting of a lavish banquet.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by me. This is Chris Gade in Washington.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.